Hello, friends. On today's show, we have four stories about people working around the system to take the burden off of those in need. Oh, and a fun song. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share. Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
You know, there's been a couple of times where I bought these microphones or equipment, and I will show up at Rock and Roll and say, am I supposed to turn this in? Or they're like, no, you bought that. I'm like, okay, he's just checking.
It's like the word rentals, you need to scratch that.
Scratch it out.
Do you forget when you rent them? Oh, you have so much equipment that occasionally something gets fixed back in.
Right, and I'm going, is it? But they would look.
Sure
they
would.
They're good people.
They are good people.
They're good people that way. Yeah.
No, dummy, that's yours.
That guy came in again. Asking if we want our shitty equipment
he's
back.
He's so gray now.
He's tried to bring in that microphone.
Do you remember
seven?
When he first came in? You remember when he first came in?
Now he's forgetful.
I don't remember
it's
when he
so
first came
sweet.
In.
It's so sweet. That's right, because I was 14.
You know, he actually daughters now. He daughters in. Wants to talk
oh, look,
about
here the... comes that guy. Just tell him he doesn't need to return the stuff he bought.
Yeah.
Steal your microphone.
But he wants to give us a quarter. So take the damn quarter.
It's behind your ear.
Oh.
Hey, here come beverages.
Hey, there we go.
All right. This should be two drinks in kind of podcast
what?
Or something.
That's almost the name of our podcast.
Yeah, I know.
You're listening to Two Beers In, a show
Thank
where we
much.
Drink alcohol from well-dressed waiters and talk about positive news.
I like
and
that
And
one.
What's great is he doesn't have a mic, so he can just stand there and just nod.
That's
so
right.
Welcome.
And he's sticking his tongue at us. What is that about?
I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I am have been enjoying a Fish House Punch, which has rum and all kinds of deliciousness in it. And I'm about to enjoy a unfiltered wheat beer from Boulevard Brewing. We, over there.
Yeah. Hey.
Forgot
man,
about her.
Man, he is two drinks in. I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I'm about to enjoy a frosty Jester King hazy IPA.
And there's Doug over there.
Yeah, and I'm having a Modelo with a lime in it, and because it's 90 degrees on the Ides of March or whatever we're on,
it's pie day.
It's actually feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, so Ides of March is tomorrow, and this is steak and blowjob
and
day.
Tonight, we are going to have a red blood moon.
The worm moon.
I did read an article that said it's a blood moon, but we don't think blood actually looks like that. They're like, I think it's more of a jasper
more of
moon.
A rusty nail.
It's a rusty nail
Amber
moon. We are here at Drinkwell, which is, let me look on the menu, which will tell us where we're at. They did not.
Austin.
How dare they?
It says Austin.
We're here in Austin, off North Loop, at Drinkwell, which is not, it is definitely not a dive bar.
No, it's definitely not. It's a little upscale. No. It's not the fanciest.
It's, yeah, it, but it's very nice. The people are very nice. We've been enjoying the drinks. You will hear the sounds instead of a bar. You'll hear the sounds of cars driving by. We tried to stay as far away from downtown Austin as we could.
Yes.
Seeing how we are balls deep in South by Southwest right now.
Aren't you glad that this is an audio medium?
Yeah.
That's that sweaty sensation that I felt.
Pull out, Monica.
So,
especially considering how toasty it was today.
Yes, it was. It was quite warm.
Woo.
It was quite warm.
Hey, fire up your hotspot there.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Firing up the hotspot that
Come
we
on,
all
Grandpa.
Know. It's known as Grandpa's Ain't. So
yes,
it's a great podcast while we play Angry Birds in the middle of it.
That's right.
All right,
here it comes.
Take this,
here
piggies. Take this.
Here it comes.
There you are.
Hey,
I'm latched on, as they say.
We're just gonna make up articles. Nice.
Come on, latch. Come on.
Yes, latch on.
Latch.
Oh, Lord. Definitely glad it's an audio medium.
Yep.
Yes.
Doug's like, I wish I wasn't seeing what I'm seeing right now.
That's right. We're balls so deep in latch.
Bring the kids around closer to hear everything we've got.
Hey, if you're in the car and listening to this.
Don't bail out.
Sorry, kids. Or what is Uncle? Yes. Uncle Roger, he's like, sorry, children. We've got four stories. Three of them rhyme. And
what?
And a good song to play at the end. And by the way, I took part of your advice, but I ended up picking another song.
Okay.
So, I liked...
You liked the theme,
yes.
The idea of it.
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear which one it shall be.
Yeah. So, let's get started with the first article, which is Maine nonprofit cancels $1.9 million in medical debt for 1,500 people. Of course, they're... Oh, buddy.
Oh, buddy. Honey. You ran over something.
The thing that's funny about this. All right. Besides that, that was someone dragging ass. They were trying to get into the bar. Yeah.
Maybe a repair shop.
There's a whole political thing that we could say about this that are going, you know, we could avoid all this debt if we... We're not going to talk about that.
No. We all know the answer to that.
Yeah. So a pair of nonprofits have teamed up to help zero out medical debt balances for over 1,000 working families in Maine. Mainers for Working Families, or the MFWF, or the MIFWF, and Undo Medical Debt partnered together in the effort to help families... Oh. There we go. Open back up.
Where'd you go?
It went away for a second. partnered together in the effort to help families in the state breathe a little easier. Thanks to their advocacy, they were able to buy debts worth up to $1.8 million for pennies on the dollar. The method, now becoming something of a mainstream charity movement, was explained in an earlier story. And what's funny also is our waiter who was here before you showed up, mm-hmm. I told him a little bit about this, and he was like, yep, something very similar happened to me.
Wow.
So, yeah. Huh. So it is becoming something of a mainstream movement. Some hospital patients can't or won't pay their huge bills for years at a time. So a hospital's claim to $50,000 or even $100,000 suddenly begins to look quite worthless. They could take legal action, but there's no guarantee they could collect, and it's expensive to pay the legal fees resulting. So what do? What usually happens when there's
Send
debt?
Send them out to factors.
Yeah, they do pennies on the dollar and sells it to debt collectors.
Yeah.
And then those debt collectors then do everything they can to try to get the original amount.
We've got your kids.
Yes. I have
not
a very
how that's
specific.
Supposed to work.
I have a very specific set of skills. Yeah. So the organization was founded by Wall Street investors in the wake of Occupy Wall Street and has since wiped out $14 billion in unpaid medical debt from thousands of Americans.
Damn.
Yeah.
How much do they spend to get rid of that?
Probably 10% of that.
Oh, probably less than that. Usually it's 1% or 2% by the time factoring's done.
In Maine, the action was taken on behalf of 1,500 low-income people who had taken on medical debt worth 5% or more of their annual income. But, you know, okay, anyway, some parts of this article I'm like, but like our friend that was just here, it's not like he said, I'm going to take on this debt. He's like, my appendix are burst. So I kind of need this. I don't have a choice here.
Yeah.
I just get it done next month.
Yeah. I know that's what happened with you, Doug.
Pretty much.
Together, these 1,500 people held around $1.8 million in debt, which was bought via donation from MIFWIF of just $12,740.
Not even 1%.
Not even 1%. Yeah. We can't turn back the clock for these people, but we had to do something. Oh, man. There's a name. Evan LeBron. Not to be confused with Eva Braun, but
Evan Le.
It's Eva Braun and Braun. LeBron James's
love child. Yes. As you do.
I'm MIFWIF's executive director.
Yes. So there's story number one. Let's go to story number two. You want to talk it, or you want me to do it?
I'll take this one.
Okay, good.
Michael Sheen, who we know from Good Omens. Yes. And that...
He's done tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
And something else.
Masters of Sex. Nixon,
right.
The Queen.
Yes. He has bought £1 million worth, or $1.3 million, of his neighbor's debts and have written them off using his own money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, Sheen, best known for his roles in The Queen, Frost Nixon, Masters of Sex, and Good Omens, first embarked on his debt heist 2 years ago with the twin aims of helping 900 people in his native South Wales and spotlighting the perils of debt industry that demands sky-high interest rates on short-term loans. His efforts will be detailed in a documentary titled Michael Sheen's £1 million giveaway to be broadcast on the BBC, on BBC4,
And Mr. Beast TV.
Yes.
Yes. In the documentary, he explains the complex financial structures of the debt industry that allowed him to buy debt worth 10 times the value of his own money. He was able to set up a company, and for $100,000, pounds rather, of his own money, buy $1 million in debt because it had come down in value like that. So I'm sensing a theme here today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
He was quoted as saying it couldn't be more real, like how much people are hurting. And he was sitting in I saw a clip of this.
Yeah.
Of him sitting in a cafe in Port Talbot, describing how waitresses told him that steelworkers came in, sat at their tables and cried, mourning the loss of their livelihood. And so it's a part of a wider campaign around the documentary. Sheen is lobbying the British government to pass a Fair Banking Act that would increase fair lending from financial services to people on low incomes, reducing their reliance on payday loan companies and loan sharks.
Or banks. I mean, right. Like, sure, loan sharks. But loan sharks are now going, you know, the banks have got a much better deal than what we had.
Well, actually, the payday loans ones are usually owned by politicians here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why they're able to get around usury laws.
They are downright predatory.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yep.
I call them misery merchants.
Yep.
Oh.
When I'm doing workshops.
Hey!
You got some protein.
Yeah.
Got a bug.
What happened?
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
That's right. We specifically added that.
My beer is chewy.
Yeah.
It goes with the basil. Sprig of rosemary.
Beware of the fancy place.
Story number three. Mom channeled her terminal cancer into debt relief fundraiser, wiping out $65 million in medical debt.
Woo.
And not just for her. I mean, they're like, let's be clear. It's like, wow.
That was a really expensive chemo.
Yeah.
She wanted everything.
Yep.
And can you do my teeth?
Can you do it?
Got my facelift, butt tuck.
Wait. Hey, what was that machine you just rolled down the hallway?
It's the one that goes ping.
I want the machine that goes ping.
So a wife and mother turned her last month on Earth into a fundraiser to wipe out medical debt burdens of families and individuals in need. Passing away 12 days ago at the age of 38, Casey McIntyre's death and the request at its onset has raised $650,000, which has the likely potential to pay off $65 million in privately shouldered medical debt. The mother of one and a publicist at Razorbill So she's just making it into content. She made her last days about content. Good for her. An imprint of Penguin House Random House. Casey is survived by her husband of 8 years, Andrew Gregory, and her daughter, Grace. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2019. A long battle resulted in a transfer to hospice care for her final 6 months. So on November 12th, a post appeared on her social media accounts that announced her passing, saying, "I love each and every one of you with my whole heart, and I promise you I knew how deeply I was loved." So obviously this was back in November. Mm-hmm. On her obituary page, it's written that she was a consummate New Yorker who always knew which bodegas had the best magazine selections, whether to take the B or the Q, what restaurants were best to spot celebrities, and who gave every New Yorker the same advice: make sure you buy a coat that covers your butt, because that's where you lose a lot of warmth.
I love her.
Always true. Casey decided to host a debt jubilee, a term of growing popularity used to describe fundraising for debt purchases, as GNN, who Good News Network,
Good News
that's
Network.
Who we use, has reported several times. Hence the other two things that I just said.
Yeah.
America is so loaded up with debt, and many creditors like hospitals and universities provide so much service on credit that the chance for a cash payout is more attractive than a long, slow, perhaps uncertain collection of debt. In the wake of the Occupy Wall Street protest, a pair of hedge fund managers created RIP medical debt, which has so far wiped out billions in private medical debt for pennies on the dollar. It was for this organization that Casey decided to raise money. Staying a long time in hospital, she received a great level of service. She got the machine that
went ping.
At a level of service at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, but recognized that it wasn't possible for everybody. On the Sunday following Casey's debt, $220,000 had been raised, which stunned Andrew. "We're overwhelmed. It's been really powerful to see the response to people wanting to eliminate strangers' medical debt." Now, of course, this is also back in November was when this article was written. That amount has increased nearly threefold.
Wow.
After the story was published in the New York Times.
There are good people.
Sure. Well, I mean, even people like Doug see the cost benefit. See the cost benefit of going...
Jaded as he is.
Yep.
Oh my God. I'm right here. I'm sitting.
I'm sorry, Doug. Can you hear this?
You forgot to turn off the headphones.
Oh,
I can still hear you, bitch.
I forgot. Made me think.
Click. Good news, everyone.
Ah, yeah, there we go.
That was the button you pressed.
Yep. Oops. Wait, that was supposed to be mute. Oh, damn. So, yeah.
So, even Doug, what in the block?
No, I'm saying, like, it's such a, like, I look at it like, this is a wonderful thing to be doing.
Yes.
Right? But it's also so cost effective to be doing that as well. In fact, the waiter had, when I told him about this, he was like, if only they would, no, it wasn't, yeah, I think it was, like, if only they would put it as part of your income tax, that part of that money that goes into
the and could you get a charitable deduction for doing something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can, but it does make some sense.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're certainly not doing it for your own benefit to create wealth.
I think that the unintended consequence that would happen, and I'm not super smart when it comes to this stuff, so if it's just occurring to me, I know it's occurred to other people already, is if everybody starts paying off that medical debt, then the percentage is going to go up.
Well, yeah, because you know, they'll sell it for a penny or two on the dollar,
right,
when there's nobody buying. But if there's a lot of people buying, it'll go up to 8 or 9% a dollar.
And it's also beneficial that people who may not want to get a medical procedure that they really need,
yeah,
because they know they'll never be able to afford it,
yeah,
they have the gumption to go in and say, look, I need to take care of this.
Yeah.
And I've got to rely on the kindness of strangers in order to do it. But, you know, if I come out of this okay, then I'm paying it forward.
Yeah, so listen, Doug.
That's what we need is medical bills where if I die, you don't get paid.
Right.
There we go. Why?
That's what I call incentive.
Right. That way you don't do a craniectomy.
Yeah. I'm not doing it, but you have to do it. What if I don't get paid? Yeah, well, you know, if you don't do the job.
Yeah, it sucks to be you, Doc.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
We are horrible people.
No, on a butt not. Lift?
We're all good.
We're all good, sir.
Waiter is giving us a thumb, asking us if we're okay, and we're like, yeah, we haven't gotten to the sad part yet. Yeah, he's like,
yeah, right. He's having him killed, gladiator die.
Yep, sorry.
Lastly,
why don't you do it because you like him?
Nothing about debt relief this time.
I had two other stories that I could have put debt relief, but I really, and by the way, one of the stories that was in here was we overlapped, and I did see Steve Carell's thing, and I was like, well, let's see how many debt things I can get. And then Monica was like, here's a story. And I'm like, yeah, that one.
That's a really good one. You broke my string.
Yep.
Yeah. Steve Carell is helping
Combo
local kids
breaker.
impacted by the Eaton fire to go to prom. The Office actor posted a video on an oligarch's social media site, which shall remain Facebook. And he announced
I did that on purpose, by the way.
And he announced, Attention all seniors. This is Steve Carell with a very special announcement. I work with a very special charity out of Virginia called Alice's Kids, and Alice's Kids wanted me to let you know that they will be paying for all of your prom tickets.
Mm.
For those who have already paid for tickets, the charity will reimburse those individuals. Today, about 800 seniors at 6 high schools in Altadena, will see this message from our friend Steve Carell. He's delivering the news that we are paying for their prom tickets, said the social media account. And Carell assured the students that this was, quote, a pretty good deal.
Now, yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. That's a different person.
This turned out not to be a combo breaker at all. This is people helping pay for other things.
Shh.
So do the Patreon.
we got to finish before we get to the Patreon.
So, a close with. Have
fun.
You were
early, Doug.
Have fun. Enjoy the prom. And remember, this is Steve Carell. Taking credit. So the organization is donating about $175,000 to send students to prom.
Hmm.
Alice's Kids executive director said they wanted to erase the worry of paying for tickets with knowing the financial pressure of many families are going through because of the devastating fires. And he's hoping this allows students to unwind and have some fun. And let's face it. Yeah. The other stuff.
So, by the way, today I learned that you have to pay for tickets to go to prom.
Yeah.
I don't remember paying for tickets to go to prom.
Did you go to prom?
I did go to prom.
I don't think you did at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't go to prom.
I didn't either.
I was in a play across the street from where they held prom.
Oh, man.
I graduated 3 months before it.
I was there, up there in the dressing room, watching all my classmates. Hmm.
I had a foreign. There was a young lady from Sweden that I had asked to prom. She said yes.
She said hooky dooky.
She said yes. She's very pretty. And
it's a requirement when you're from Sweden.
And then, two weeks before, she said my foreign exchange sister, who we were staying with, suggested that I should go with someone else, so I'm going to go with someone else.
Hmm.
Because that girl didn't like me. And
who
like,
doesn't like Brett Weaver
you know,
in high school?
You don't know 18-year-old Brett Weaver.
Oh, God.
You know, I was all
it
right.
It wasn't Kristen Chenoweth,
it was not
it?
Kristen
okay.
Chenoweth. But all it right. was someone near both of us that was in it. And so she said, but the foreign exchange... And I can't even remember her name now. I mean, it's 50 or 30-something years ago. 40. Wait.
It was back when he was six.
A couple of decades.
Wait,
in
hold
high
on.
School.
It's 40 years ago because this is my 40th class reunion that's coming up this summer.
You're old.
Yeah. So she said, you don't have to worry. You will find someone else. She said,
Yes.
You will find someone else.
You will find
and
someone else.
And I was like, I asked you.
Yeah.
I'm not going with anybody else. So she got to watch me go to prom by myself.
Oh.
Now, you guys know that I don't have a problem going to places by myself.
This is true.
And I turned it into a total positive thing. First of all,
like you do,
I got a 1985. I borrowed a 1985 white Mercury Marquee.
Oh yeah,
and all that entails.
Was it all computer?
Yes. and I got the tux. I was all dressed up in the tux.
Uh-huh.
I was in the best shape of my life, and I went to that prom. I stopped for dinner, had a fancy dinner. Of Taco Bueno.
No.
Yes. Drive through. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing this because I'm writing. I told them I'm writing my story right now. I got dumped by the person and I want to know, live the know. Yeah, I went to Taco Bueno for my prom dinner.
And you missed out.
Yeah. And so they thought that was hilarious. And so then I go and I get there. I dance with every woman that I wanted, young lady that I wanted to dance with, we had a blast of a good time, and I could see her going like, "Aw,
well, I could have had fun with him."
Yep.
Now I'm stuck with Mr. Squarepants.
And I made sure to send her a song, which was Corey
Haymes.
No,
oh.
Corey.
With the song, I Ain't Missing You At All.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No, that was not Corey.
It was a Corey.
No.
Yes, it was.
No.
Corey.
Nope. Nope.
Dang it.
If only we had electronic devices.
If there was only some way.
It was a John. It was a John.
It was not.
There is no way we'll ever solve this.
Okay. Because we have enough time.
Yes.
While Doug talks about Patreon.
So, anyway. Now that you've listened to other people giving, it's your turn. Please help us out.
Dig deep.
Make sure that you give us money for our beer.
Yes.
Our drinks.
That's right.
We need drinks.
This place is expensive.
Yes.
Otherwise, it'll be two no beers in. Because we can't afford no
That's
beers.
Right. It'll be two waters in.
It'll be 2 48s in.
And I would give you the link, but I never memorized that, so screw that.
Oh!
She was right.
Gotcha.
John Waite.
No! Yes.
John Waite.
We had to John Waite for the answer, but that was it.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. Well done, sir.
Well played.
Yes. Darn it. I Wear My Sunglasses at Night. Is that the same guy?
No, it's not the same
Who's
guy.
Who's that guy?
John Waite was the lead singer for The Babies.
Yes.
No, Sunglasses was a Corey, but yes. I can't
okay.
remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Corey Feldman.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Corey
Haymes.
Actor.
No.
Corey.
No.
Actor. I
don't
know. Those are the Coreys. Those are the two.
There's a bunch of Coreys. In the 80s, you had to be a Corey or you couldn't
That's right.
act.
Well, yeah.
They kicked you out of SAG. Right.
Believe me, I know.
Unless you were a female, then you had to be a Heather.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's go on to our final song. And before we do that, I would like to acknowledge that my friend, George Lowe, famous space ghost and voice of the Atlanta train system.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, the MARTA?
He's like, hey, citizen, mind the gap.
Wow, that next time I ride the MARTA. I'll
yeah,
have to,
a
I'll
MARTA.
Have to...
He was the voice of MARTA. I don't know if he's still voice of the MARTA, but he was
wow.
for many years.
By the way, in the opening segment of John Oliver's This Week Tonight.
He talked about it.
There was a little homage.
Oh, that's nice.
In the open there, in the all of the little pictures that they
and
show.
And E.T. Entertainment Tonight did one as well.
Nice.
Nice.
So, yeah, we had a nice... A bunch of voice actors like, I remember him when he did this. And I'm like, I remember when he said puddin' panties. Or panty puddin' or something like that.
Panty puddin'.
Just pour the ingredients in as he's looking at my wife. I'm like, dude.
That's not uncomfortable at
all.
Oh.
No, the best thing that ever happened was my wife and I going into... The the room where they're giving interviews, and he's sitting talking to, and it's just like a, it's just a big room with chairs, right? So we come in, and as he's talking to the interviewer, he sees us, and he goes, "Oh, look, it's EK and the twins," because my wife
is a little bodacious.
She's bodacious, yeah. And she just went behind the executive chair. She just looked at it, went.
Good for EK.
Yeah.
So, George.
George Lowe.
Here's to your travels.
Yep.
Sir.
You are Uncle Space Ghost. And so, to close out, he was a big fan of Steely Dan. And in fact, he had the band Asia's recording board.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
At his house.
It yes. was the key.
He showed
it,
he goes, well, and you know, what was funny was I looked up Asia songs and I'm like,
no.
No.
Sadly, that was tied for the first album I ever bought, Asia and Journey's Escape.
Wow.
You
picked Journey. Good for you.
Yeah, the Escape I'm okay with. The Asia got old.
Yeah.
I read an interview with another close friend of his who said that when it came to the song Asia by Steely Dan, which we will probably not be playing because it's too long.
Yes.
Yeah, that he could riff the drum solo pat for pat on the dashboard of a car.
Yeah.
It's kind of like he knew that thing. So that's how I knew he was a big Steely Dan.
And our... The big joke is I got to play a lot of Yes And with him.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why we were friends was, though I found him hilarious, I always look for the humanity and whoever is famous. And he always appreciated that.
Oh, that
I was just like, like he tried to put the thing on me. I'm like,
no,
you're not going to do that.
Not going to do that.
Yeah. He did a whole thing once where a friend of ours was his handler. And during a big audience thing, he got the guy to dance. He's like, "Come on, dance for me, dance." And he looks at me, and I go, hold on, give me a mic," because I walked in, and he's like, "Give me a mic," because I saw it happen. And he goes, "Hey, Brett," I go, "I ain't dancing for you, Lo. It's not happening." He's like, "Come on." So anyway, love George. Sad he's gone. Fly free, my friend.
Yes.
So, yes, we have a Steely Dan song because he was a fan. And I said do it again. I just had to put that one on because I really like that song, too.
Okay.
And I know he liked it, too. Right. So.
I remember Casey Kasem Countdown where he had to play Do It Again. And at the end of it, he said, "Steely Dan, going up to number 9, I still don't know what the song's about." Just didn't get Steely Dan.
And welcome to American Top 40. I have been Brett Weaver, enjoying an unfiltered wheat beer from Boulevard Brewing Company.
Hey, I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I've been enjoying a Jester King Hazy IPA.
Hey, Doug, what were you drinking?
And I'm Corey. I was famous in the 80s, and I've been drinking a Modelo. Nom, nom, nom.
There we go. So thank you, everyone. And always remember, keep your feet on the ground and keep looking for the stars. There you go. See you next week.
Bye.
Good news, everyone.